Good morning. This morning we're going to spend our time on Psalm 95. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 95. If this is your first time here, welcome to Netherland Church. We're a blessed congregation. We're able to do the things that we have played in the videos. And we're hoping to even do more for the name of God, for the expansion of His kingdom. Psalm 95. Also, if you are joining us online, thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you in person real soon. Can we just show up hands for a bit? Like, if you were a teacher, elementary teacher, probably have retired recently, but you taught as your livelihood. Can we do that? Just to recognize the teachers. Right. Sunday school teachers as well. Thank you so much. Professors in the university, do we have? There we go. Thank you. I know that the school is going to start here pretty soon in probably a week. Is that a week away? And we just want to recognize how you have impacted the lives of the kids and the community. So we're going to include you in our prayer this morning. Can we read the first verses of Psalm 95? And can we do that while we stand for a second? Psalm 95, verses 1 to 6 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us before Him with thanksgiving, with music and song. For the Lord, the great King above all gods, in His hands are the depths of the earth. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel. For He is our God, and we are the sheep of His pasture, the flock and the sheep." Please be seated. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed that You have given us many opportunities in life, and one of that is to be able to work, and not only work, but also in our jobs as teachers, be able to influence the character, the behavior, the mindset of the kids. And so we lift up to You our teachers in this community, in this church family. Now, this year, Lord, You will use them in many ways to be as a source of encouragement, as a source of life and light, as somebody that cheers them up even though life can be challenging, as somebody that gives them wisdom. Pray for those teachers from preschool to high school, middle school, high school, college, and other levels of education. We also would like to lift up to You our Sunday school teachers and those that plan the lessons and people behind them, that You will bless them with wisdom and with passion. We are so grateful that in this community we have many educators. It's just a blessing to be surrounded by people that think about You, not only in Sunday schools, but also in the community. May You bless them immensely, Father. Also, we pray for Your blessing as we talk about Psalm 95 this morning. And this is a prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 95 is a great, I always say this, great every chapter that we encounter. But I believe that it's great because it encourages us to do one thing that is really important. And so I come up with a title of the lesson that I thought is very important for us these days. Relearning gratitude. And if you're somebody that says, well, I'm already grateful, so probably we should reword that title, Remastering Gratitude. And there's many reasons for that. But we'll go back to the first verses of Psalm 95, because I think that this tells us what this Psalm 95 is about. The first verses tells us to be joyful, make joyful noise to God. That's in verse 1. And that joyful noise is actually praising to God. In the Old Testament, sometimes that includes dancing, sometimes it doesn't, but it depends on the occasion. And secondly, it tells us to recognize the greatness of God. That's what it said in verses 3 to 5. And recognizing the greatness of God is important in the history of Israel because they always come with history stories, like how God redeemed them from Egypt and how God rescued them and how God provided the manna and other things. So that's how recognizing the greatness of God is to their lifestyle, their history. Thirdly, it said to worship our God. So this is what Psalm 95 is trying to do, to worship our God. And worshiping God in the old days is really different from our days, because worshiping God is coming with a dove, a bull, probably, and animals, and offering that and doing sacrifices. Today, we're worshiping God in our bodies, in our spirit. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us to come as holy sacrifices, as living sacrifices. And fourthly, Psalm 95 tells us to listen to God. That's in verse 8. And he kind of reiterates that it's important for us to listen to God. There's many sources in this world, and listening to God should be our number one source of information, number one source of guidance. And lastly, where we'll focus our time this morning is in verse 2, because that's the text for this morning. It says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make joyful noise unto the Lord with psalms." And I want you to notice here the sequence of events, the sequence of how the psalmist wrote his verse. He said, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make joyful noise unto him with psalms." So in this psalmist's mind, thanksgiving comes before praise. Thanksgiving comes before praise. And there's a reason for that. You know, people can come to a church gathering like this out of tradition, out of habit, but not really be in it, not really be present. You can sing loud songs, you can praise God, you can kneel and say the whole story of prayer, the whole section of prayer, I'm sorry, and not really be in it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, he said, "These people," referring to the people, the Pharisees that were gathering there and asking questions, "these people right here," he said, "they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So it's very possible to come here every Sunday. I'm not saying that you guys or me, but I'm possible for religious people to come every Sunday just out of tradition, just out of habit, but not really be changed by the things that God does for their lives. And so thanksgiving, gratefulness is very important. That comes first before praise, so that there's authenticity, this pureness of heart, this realness to it. It's not just a shallow kind of worship. So thanksgiving is important before praise. And this is not to say that with praise that we have, there's no thanksgiving. This is just to reorganize, to restructure, so that when we come on our Sunday gatherings, it is out of purity, out of sincerity. I agree with Zig Ziglar. You probably have heard him. He's an author and a businessman. He died in 2012. But I agree with his statement, "Gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions." Gratitude is the healthiest about human emotions. And what does he mean by that? He kind of puts gratitude at the top of human emotions. There's joy, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's worries, but he puts gratitude, this thankful heart, on top of the list. And he said that this gratitude, this thankfulness, is the healthiest of all human emotions. And why is that? One, it's because you can't fake gratitude. If you are truly grateful, there's no fakeness in that. You know, if somebody give you a gift, regardless of the size, the design, the wrappings, the bag, you say thank you out of your gratitude. And you can't fake gratitude. And secondly, out of gratitude, you create this deep appreciation. You say thank you because you truly appreciate what has been given to you. And thirdly, it enriches both the giver and the receiver. When I say thank you because I received something from you, it enriches you as the giver of gift, but it also enriches me because it teaches me to appreciate all the things that you give to me, either whether they're small or they're big or just mediocre. Regardless of what you give me, I create this deep character in me to be appreciative of the things that you have given me. On the other hand, ungratefulness is a cancer. And what I mean by that is that when we don't consider the things that God has blessed us with, when we don't think about the things that God has blessed us with, whether that's life, that's job, that's your kids, whether that's opportunity in life, whether that's your house right now, or the things that you enjoy right now, when you don't consider that, and you don't verbally voice that out, and you don't physically show that, you are creating a character in yourself that is devoid of human joy. Because gratefulness creates joy. Thankfulness creates joy. It gives you that happiness. So it's a cancer because it kills that human emotion to be joyful, to be grateful. And there are three reasons: teaching, You are teaching ungratefulness to yourself. And when your kids see that you are ungrateful for the things that you have, they learn ungratefulness. And when their kids go out to their community and they show the same habit that you do, the same character of ungrateful, they teach that to others. And so on and so forth. And so you have a generation of ungrateful people. And sometimes we cry and we protest at these things that we see in the world of being ungrateful. Probably it's because we have not shown much gratefulness to ourselves, to our family, and to our community. And so ungratefulness is a cancer. Not only that, but you're also molding arrogance. When you're ungrateful, you're saying to yourself, I don't need to say thank you to you. I don't need to say thank you to God. I don't need to thank you to those people that give me, because I'm free. I'm a liberated person. I don't need to. This just me. You're creating a habit of arrogance. And the same thing goes on, that if your family sees that habit of arrogance, that attitude of arrogance that's been carried out to their friends, extended to the community, and so you're creating a generation of arrogant people. And third reason for ungratefulness being a cancer, you're nurturing, you're developing this self that's all about self. That's what narcissism is. Thinks only of himself. Doesn't think about others, but only what benefits him. So that's why this is, ungratefulness is a cancer. So Psalm chapter 95 verse 2 tells us to come to God with thanksgiving so that we can praise him. It tells us to remember the things that God has done for us so that we will be filled with thanksgiving. So for a second right now, just think of the things, three things. It's easy to think of one thing, but think of three things that you are thankful for today. You don't have to voice it out. You have to verbalize it just in your head. Three things that you are thankful for today. I also agree with Zig Ziglar's statement, your attitude is your altitude. Have you heard this? Your attitude is your altitude. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is that your attitude defines how you deal with life, how you go through life. And altitude is a term used by climbers. You've heard this many times. If you've seen movies about people climbing Mount Everest or pilots going up and down, altitude is a reference for the height of an object in relation to the sea level or the ground level. So your attitude determines how you go through life. This means that your attitude is the key factor in determining how you deal with stuff, how you deal with your circumstance, how you deal with your problems. And so if I have a sour attitude, that determines the height of my character. That I am sour, because I'm sour, I go low. But if I have a great attitude, a positive outlook of life, I go high in life. I can do better in life. Actually, there was a study that says it's not so much of the aptitude, our knowledge, it's not so much of the skill, it's not so much of the ability that determines the success of our life. It's about the character of our life. So that's what he means by his statement, your attitude is your altitude. So let's ask the questions, am I grateful for the things that God has given me? And if I am grateful, have I verbalized that? Have I shown that to others? If I am a grateful person, have I shown the character of gratefulness to others? And I hope that you are. There are three things here that I want to mention, want to highlight why remastering, if you are already a grateful person, or relearning, if you're not yet a grateful person. Three reasons why I believe we should relearn or remaster, or however you want to phrase yourself right now, the habit of gratefulness. One, gratitude improves our emotional language. Like what he said, Ziglar, that first statement that we quoted, it's the healthiest form of human emotion. When we are grateful, it improves the way we communicate with others. When we are grateful, we learn how to tune in and tune out. When we are grateful, we're able to experience the full range of human emotion, not just worry and fear, but also the joy of experiencing gift from others, especially from God. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And I want you to notice that phrase that says, "Give thanks," not just in good times. Paul says, in all circumstances, in all situations, we should learn to be thankful. This is not an easy statement for Paul, because Paul has experienced many things in his life as a servant of Christ. Shipwreck, he was beaten, stoned, he was imprisoned. And he's saying that despite of those things that I've experienced, my one go-to character, my one go-to attitude is gratefulness. I learned to be grateful to God despite of my circumstances, despite of my situation. So if we learn the habit, the attitude, the character of gratefulness, we're improving our human emotion, the emotional language. Secondly, we should relearn gratitude because it improves our perspective of life. It's Paul again in Philippians, a different book, but Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. He was in prison. He was under house arrest in Rome. But despite of being in prison, this is what he said. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. "Be anxious for nothing." Now, again, imagine where he is. He's in prison, under house arrest. Not a very comfortable situation. But he said, "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace with surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If you have the Bible with you and you have a pen, I would like for you to encircle the word "anxious for nothing," the phrase. And then the second is thanksgiving, and then the peace of God. And I want you, again, like what we did in the verse 2, consider the sequence here. He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but instead of being filled with worry, anxiety," he said, "don't do that. Instead, be anxious, and then say your requests. Let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And only then can you have the peace of God." So peace of God comes from a heart that is thankful, a heart that recognizes the reality of his situation, but recognizes that God is present, that God is with him. And the last reason why we should relearn or remaster gratitude is this: gratitude improves the quality of our life. Not only of our life, but also the quality of our worship. Just imagine coming here every Sunday and you're truly filled with gratitude. You're truly filled with gratitude. You would not be so concerned about how you sound. You would not be so concerned about the time. You would not be so concerned about the long prayer or the short prayer or the sequence. You would be filled with praise because you're grateful. Because you are grateful. It improves our life. It improves our worship when we have a grateful heart. That's what it does. So I think we should, based on these three reasons, we should remaster or relearn the attitude of gratitude, a heart that is thankful. We should relearn that. There's a parable in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, that you have heard many, many times, and it's good to remind ourselves of this story. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. This is what it says. "Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers." And know that back then they didn't have the hospitals that we do have now. They didn't have a lot of medication, and they view leprosy as a very, not only contagious, but people should be, if you have a leprosy, you should be shunned out of the community. So they were desperate. "Who stood afar up," the lepers stood afar up, "and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' Now, I want you to notice here their request. They were not requesting for healing. They were not requesting for redemption. They were requesting for pity, for attention, for love, for acceptance. But Jesus knew what they needed. So this is what he said. So when he saw them, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." He did not promise them healing. He didn't promise them anything. He just said, "Go show yourselves." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. So as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Notice again the way that it was organized here. It was because he realized that he was healed, and he was filled with thanksgiving, with this deep gratitude that he was healed. He wasn't asking for healing, as the verse showed us. But he realized that he was healed, so he was filled with gratitude. And the result of gratitude is praise, is worship. Here's a unique, here's a very deep question from God. 17, it said, "So Jesus answered and said, are there not 10 that were cleansed?" Jesus is not wondering if the rest of the 9 people were clean. He knew they were clean. He knew they were healed. But he was asking something else. Like, okay, I see you here. I see your gratitude. I see your heart, the purity of your heart. But why just you? Where's the 9? Where are the 9? That's what he said. Where are they? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, and your faith has made you well." I think it's just very interesting that even though God did not tell them to say, "Listen to this, once you realize that you're healed, go back to me and show me your gratitude." He didn't say that, but he expected them to show gratitude. Or probably the better way of putting it is that he appreciates people that are grateful, people that are thankful. And there's like a level of love from Jesus to people that are thankful. So he said, "Why just you? You a foreigner. Of all the people, why just you? I expect the Jews to come back and thank me and praise God. Why just you?" So gratefulness is not commanded in the Bible. There's no command that I know of in the Bible that says, show your gratefulness to God. Show your gratitude to God. And you know why? Because it comes from the willful heart. It comes from a pure heart. You cannot command a heart to be pure. I cannot command your heart to be grateful. That comes from within. That comes from the trueness of your being, the content of your being. So we are reminded this morning through Psalm chapter 95, verse 2, that when we come together, that we should have a thankful, a grateful heart. And that should be expanded not only when we come together, but in our life. Whatever we receive from other people, we should be thankful. The opportunities that we experience, we should be thankful. And probably that's what you lack right now, the heart of gratitude. Probably that's what you need. Probably that's what you need to relearn or remaster. But here's a statement that I think is very important before we leave this lesson here in this pulpit. John F. Kennedy said this: as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the deepest or highest, richest appreciation is not uttering words. They are important, and we should relearn to say, "Thank you, I appreciate this. I'm so glad you have given me this. I truly appreciate your gift." So it's not just the utter of words. And I think this is what God wants from us, not just the worship of words, like in Matthew chapter 18, where he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart are far from me." He said, the highest, richest appreciation is not just words, but to live by. by them. If we are truly grateful for the things that God has blessed us with, we should live with the intent to bring glory and honor to God by the way we talk, by the way we live, by the way that we say things, by the way that we communicate as a community, by the way that we gather. That's how we show our true appreciation. Yes, with words, but so much more so with our actions, by the way that we live our lives. But how do we learn gratitude? I want to reiterate that I'm not saying that we are not grateful, but how do we learn gratitude? I have three suggestions of the way that we learn gratitude. One, when you get up in the morning, why don't you mention three things, like our short exercise to God? God, I'm thankful for this one, this two, this three. Why don't we teach ourselves to do that every day? Probably that will improve our life and the way we view things. And secondly, why don't you write a note to somebody, call probably, a text or email to somebody that have influenced you in many ways. Somebody that you're grateful. Probably that was your professor. Probably that was your coworker. Probably your friend, your churchmate. Just write a small note. I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your presence every Sunday. Write a note. Could be a text. Easier that way. And lastly, can we right now just relearn to say thank you? Turn around to your spouse or to somebody and just say thank you. Can we do that right now? We all say thank you. If you have any spiritual need this morning, Baptistry is always ready, and we would like for you to have the courage to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.